Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Praise the Lord. We do this every year, and Jeremy reminds me that what I'm going to show you at the end of this service is one that we've done before, but I like it a lot because it does have a great deal of meaning. One of the things I like about this day is a day that not only for us today are we getting a blessing to reacquaint with loved ones and stuff that are ministering elsewhere and such, but this is the day that we set aside to praise God, exalt Him, thank Him for this great land that we are privileged to live in. And I know there's a lot of things that are going on that are wrong, that are corrupted, that are working against the ideals and the lifestyle and the culture and national pride and everything of that nature that we have as American people. And just to give you a brief overview, when I was younger and in junior high and high school, we had wars. My dad was in three conflicts, and the war of my generation was the Vietnam War. And we were living that, but all of our wars seemed to be external. And part of our when you take an oath in a public office, you're asked to pledge your allegiance to the Constitution, and in part of that you are asked to defend the Constitution and against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Well, when I was younger, all I knew about was foreign wars. And we even have an organization called VFW, Veterans of Foreign Wars. I'm sure you could probably count the Civil War if you wanted to go that far back, but I wasn't that old. So all I really related to was what I read in history books and so forth about foreign wars. And never did I imagine in my whole life that we would have to stand vigilance against a domestic enemy. And I feel that much of the spirit and the agendas that are happening today are in opposition to our Constitution and our way of life as American people. Now, this is something that I love about America. I love America because, and I'm going to be real straight and honest with you. I hope you're mature enough to take this. Are you? Raise your hand if you're not. We'll send you to kids' church. I'm going to be real honest with you. I do not believe race, creed, ethnic background, I don't think that has anything to do with the problems of today. There are agendas today that try to divide us on all kinds of measures, on what color you are, what nationality you are, how you have sex. They try to divide us in all these so that we have always a conflict. And if there's always a conflict, we always need someone to be the one who resolves the conflict. And generally, the effort is to use the governments, whatever level, to influence the conflict. Consequently, that gives more power to the state than I think the power of the state should have. That's my personal opinion. But I have I've been in a lot of different areas, work-wise, ministry-wise, and I'm going to be honest with you. It doesn't make any difference to me if you're Hispanic or if you're black or if you're green or you're polka dotted. It don't matter to me. What matters to me is what kind of character you got. If you're going to cheat me in a business deal, I don't care what color you are. I'm not going to like you. Amen? And so, and frankly, I've been in a lot of church services where there have been Indians, Native American Indians, and African Americans. And Hispanics. I've been with all these ethnic people in a church service, and you know what? Not one time did anybody say something about their ethnicity or their color or anything. What they did do is hug their neck because they loved Jesus Christ. And isn't it interesting, if we're unified and we're focused on a good thing, how color and ethnicity doesn't make a bit of difference. I think the only way to be colorblind and that we're supposed to be, and if you're politically correct, you're supposed to be, the only way that's possible is to learn to know somebody and learn to love somebody. And Jesus Christ compels us to do that. I'm going to ask you in just a few minutes to turn to Galatians, the fifth chapter. And I'm going to relate this to this whole thing in just a minute, because I want to relate at the very end of this message to what I think is the most important point. But this nation has set aside Memorial Day to honor the fallen soldiers of the American Army or military. And I think it's an awesome thing. I come from a family that have been in the military. I had uncles and cousins and my dad and others that were in the military. My dad was a career military man, and I had the privilege of watching him retire out of the Navy at the Fallon Naval Air Force Base in Nevada. I was there at the ceremony, able to take pictures and watch him receive his flag and the officer there commending him for his service. And so I've had these attachments to military, and I learned my appreciation and love for the military through my father, because he spent so much time in the military. But he taught me things like loyalty, and he taught me things I didn't fully understand him when he was talking to me about them, and the importance of something greater than me, that there are things in life that are bigger and more important than me. There are things that are going to compel me to do things for a higher cause and for a higher reason. And so I learned that from my dad, and then I learned it from my Savior. Because in his gigantic act of sacrifice, I saw the very tale, the very story that my father was trying to get across to me, the points he was trying to get across to me when I came to know Jesus Christ. And that's why I think that this American experiment, some have called it, is probably one of the greatest things that has ever happened amongst people on the planet of this earth throughout history. I think the United States is the greatest land, greatest country that has ever existed. Now, I'm saying something pretty big, because the Roman Empire was pretty tough, pretty big, and pretty strong for a long, long time. But they were never given the freedoms and the liberties that you and I possess. If you became a citizen, and by the way, I think if you're a citizen of the United States, I think you should take great pride and honor in the fact that you are a citizen of the United States of America. This is a great land, and it gives you a great privilege. Never take it for granted that you're a citizen and you have all these rights. All these rights that you possess, somebody else paid for you to enjoy. You follow what I'm saying? And so, as in the old Roman Empire, citizenship was very important. You could gain citizenship by being a child of a citizen of the Roman Empire. You could gain citizenship by declaration of the emperor. The emperor could grant you citizenship at any time. You could earn your citizenship by doing great exploits of valor in military campaign. You could also gain your freedom and your citizenship by doing some great exploit like being a gladiator in the arena. So there were ways and accesses to get citizenship, and when you became a citizen, it was very important. There were rights that came along with citizenship under the Roman Empire. If you'll remember the Apostle Paul, do you remember him? At one time, there's a big riot going on because he'd come back to honor God and to worship the Lord at a holiday time, and it caused a row. They wanted to kill him, and so the soldiers had to come in and break up this riot, and they arrested Paul and put him in bonds. And as he walks away, he tells the soldiers, I'm a free-born citizen. I didn't earn mine through it. I'm a free-born citizen. And that frightened the soldiers almost to death, because it was illegal to bind a Roman citizen. And the penalty was very severe. I was telling my wife this morning, we were talking about a similar thing, and I said, yeah, there was just about only one penalty in the Roman Empire. They had a rule of law, but there was about only one penalty. If you stole something, well, you died. If you robbed somebody, you died. Pretty much the same sentence for any crime, but they did have a legal system. But as citizenship was held of high regard, if you were a Roman citizen, you could travel anywhere in the Roman Empire unmolested. And if you were molested, it was a death sentence to whoever molested you. Follow what I'm saying? It's not quite to that extreme as in America, but let me tell you how important American citizenship is. It provides the liberties and freedoms that you now enjoy. Being an American citizen grants you privilege to go anywhere in this United States and its territories without being molested. The law, the state does nothing to stop you. You're free to do that. You're free to go just about anywhere you want to go. Do just about anything you want to do, provided it's legal, without any kind of opposition by the state whatsoever. So being a citizen of the United States is not as extreme as it was back in the Roman Empire, which it could be a life and death situation, but it is just as valuable to you and I. And the best way for you to understand that, can I tell you the best way for you? Leave this country for a visit. Go outside this country and see how other countries govern themselves. See how much freedoms others have. I remember a story about a young man, Thailand or Singapore or something like that. You remember that? And he was going to do what they freely do in America and do some graffiti. Do you remember that? Well, you might remember when I tell you what the penalty was. They jerked that young lad down and they caned his hide. Just like my mama would have caned my hide. And he became subject to their law. He was not a citizen of Singapore, and even if he was, he'd have been caned for graffitiing. In fact, you can be caned for dropping paper litter on the street in Singapore. So if you want to know how valuable your personal freedoms and your personal citizenship is, leave this country for a visit and find out the blessings and the freedoms and the rights and the liberties that you possess as an American citizen. Now, if you're not an American citizen, you're here this morning, let me say this. I think you should go back and get your citizenship. If you want to come this way, you can come work here and whatever. I don't have a problem with any of that. What I have a problem is that you're not gaining what America really offers. America offers you freedom. America offers you to become a part of a bigger cause, a bigger thing, something bigger than you. And I have a guy that's working for me now. He's from Mexico, and he's been here many, many years, and he's worked for me before, and now he's my main man. And he is diligently now working to get his... He's worked legally with a green card and all that kind of stuff or whatever it is. I don't even know what color it is. They call it green card, I think. But it might be blue. Who knows? But he's going to classes to learn how to learn English better so he can read better so that he can answer the questions that he has to answer when he goes up for his citizenship. So proud of him, I can't see straight. It's awesome. I think if you want to come and participate and help build this, come for the right reason. Come and be a part of it. Be a part of this great land. We offer that to you. I think it's the greatest land in the world with the greatest freedom. And because men have been free, we're free to start a business if we want to. We're free to provide a service if we want to. We're free to go somewhere and work there, and if we don't like that, we can go clear to Florida and work if we want to. These things are offered because you're a free citizen in America. And you can say, well, I can do that without being a citizen. Yes, you can. But you're really not contributing to the spirit of this land. This land is an umbrella that is over every nationality that's on this planet. And I find it very interesting that other nationalities can come to this land and flourish. Find the American dream, and so many Americans still can't find it. Is that too cruel? It's true. It's true. Have you ever been to a 7-Eleven recently? You have? I go there mainly for the chili and cheese. I got a big bite that's really awesome. And it's cheap. You can get two for $3 or something like that. I mean, you can't beat that. Them dudes are that big around. Awesome. But who owns it? Some guy from India. He comes over here. He sacrifices everything to get here. He buys that business. He works that business with his family until he gains enough money to own the business outright. Then he branches out and buys another 7-Eleven or something similar. He knows what privilege and opportunity. Because back in India, you can't start businesses. There's nothing to start. You're starving to death. You follow me? So America is a great land, and it is a land yet we are privileged to be part of. And the greater part of America is not the corruption and the things that you see happening. It is the ideal of America, where you can come and be free, that the state cannot just come in and take everything you own. There must be due process. You have rights, and you have privileges, and you have liberties, and you should be standing and vigilant and constant in your guarding of your liberties and your freedoms. Hello? I know you hear this every Memorial Day in some form or another, and I've often thought, why don't I just preach something else? Because how many times can you say how great your land is and how exceptional we are as a people? Free people are the most productive people. Free people are the most inventive and take the initiative type of people. Free people know the value of being able to choose what you want to be in life. And you can become anything you want to become. I really believe that. In the book of Galatians, I haven't even got to my notes. I'll get you to Galatians in a minute. The purpose of Memorial Day is to remember. And I want to point out something that I think is very important. There is something built into mankind. There's something built into every one of us. Younger people may not have come to the conclusion yet. One day they will. One day they'll come to the conclusion to the value of all the crazy things that they've had, you know, free for them to do and all that kind of stuff. Now we take a lot of things for granted. And that's easy to do, and I understand that. And I'm not criticizing that at all. I'm just saying younger people, when they finally get to that place where they thinking more like an adult because they've got more responsibility and whatever, they're going to realize that there's something inside of us that believes in everlasting things. I think God puts something in us that helps us realize and know that we're not just, when we die, the end. That there's something immortal in us. There's something that says we can live forever and says we want to live forever. And I can take you right down the street right here and walk into that grassy area over there. One side has all these above ground monuments and these others have headstones. But I can take you to every one of them. And you can read the headstones. And sometimes that's pretty interesting to do in old Western ones. And there's some out towards Sunnyside. You can go to have some people that have been buried there since the 1800s, that kind of stuff. It's just amazing to read that. Why do you suppose those are there? The family planted a loved one in the ground. They put a headstone there to remember them. So should they pass away, they still want the memory of that loved one to continue. I say that is our link to immortality. I say that's the part of man that looks toward immortality and realizes that that is possible. And if not possible, I at least want to be remembered. I at least want to be. In fact, I think it's almost a necessity on our part. Something that we're not complete unless we feel as though we have accomplished something and have been recognized for it and that we will be remembered. Am I making sense? The pyramids of Egypt are memorials to previous pharaohs. Eight wonders of the world, of the ancient world, almost every one of them is a memorial to somebody who's passed away. Why? We have this thing in us that believes in immortality and believes that we want to be remembered forever. And Memorial Day is kind of that satisfying of that to a degree. We have loved ones who have probably, and some of you may not even know the loved ones that you've had that have probably passed away in previous wars and their memories have been gone. And that's part of what we don't want to happen. We want that memory to be continuous. We want to honor. And so even if we can't remember the individual, we still want to remember the idea that somebody laid down their life and we attach that to the freedoms and liberties that we possess. Every liberty and freedom you possess, somebody laid down their life to give it to you. From the Revolutionary War through all the wars we've had, And now I think we have a domestic war going on where we're going to realize somebody's going to be laying down their lives for our freedoms. But I think it's important. I think it's important longing in our heart. We stop many times, and I'm going to be just frank with you. There's a lot of times I'm driving down the road and I'm thinking, you know, I need to get down to Reno and see my mom. My mom's gone. I've driven down the road and said, man, I got to get down to Monterey and see my dad. My dad's gone. But you understand that connection, the thing that makes that immortality. You don't want their memory to be gone. I still want to be related. I still want to be a part of that person's life and their impact and their influence in my life. I want it to continue. I want to live in honor of that. And on Memorial Day, that's what we do. We remember the dead that have fallen. And I don't want to forget, they may never know their names. Now we build walls with their names on them so we can remember them. They even had a wall that was going around. Do you remember the wall that passed? I think they even passed through this area that had all the names of the Vietnam vets, a smaller version of the one that's back east in D.C. So the idea was to get those names, people to see the... I don't know all of those names. I only know one name on that wall that I had a personal relationship. That was Charlie Balabac. And he died shortly after we graduated because he went to Vietnam, was killed in the jungles of Vietnam. It's the only one I know of. I had other friends that went and came back, but Charlie did not come back. And you know, when that makes me think, here's a guy, pretty cool guy. I mean, he ran around with us, so you know, he had to be cool to run around with us. So, I thought a lot of him, and then I never recognized him fully until I really got more mature, and that's not even a proven fact, how important Charlie Balabac was to me. He laid down his life that I might have the freedoms I'm enjoying today. That's my personal contact. My father never died in a foreign war, but he spent a lot of time in the military, so I learned the values of that, but it wasn't until I began to realize, and that didn't happen until I became a Christian. It's when I realized what Jesus meant when he said, no greater love hath any man than the one that's going to lay down his life for you. That's paraphrased, of course. But that's what he's saying. And what he's doing is giving you a precursor to his own death. So what does America have to do with Jesus Christ? It has everything. The very freedoms you possess in your documents of Declaration of Independence acknowledges that freedom does not come from the state. Freedom does not come from the king. Freedom does not come from the Congress. Freedom does not come from the Supreme Court or the presidency. Your freedom comes from God. And that's why I think America is a great experiment that God said, I'm going to create a land where people are free. That the state does not declare all things, but that the people are governed by the will of the people. We let them govern us. We have full supreme control. Did you know that's why that the generals and the admirals and everything don't run the military completely, but it is run by a civil president? It's so that the people control the army, not the army controlling the people. Am I making sense to you? Are you recognizing some of your liberties? I think Memorial Day is set aside to remind us that we are a free people and the state does not own us. America is more than a place. It's an ideal. It's a belief. It's a people who have a common belief that men who are free live better than men who are not. It's an ideal where we can look to the future and say, I want my children to possess what my parents have given me, freedom. And I want my children to have those same liberties. And not only that, our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. I want them all to have the freedoms and even more if possible. So America is far bigger than what we can perceive just on the human level. It's an idea God had. And he gave it to us, and we're responsible for maintaining a vigilant watch over our liberties. Amen? So God's good to us. It's awesome how awesome God really is to us. I remember I've been offended a lot of times, but when I start thinking about America and the cost of how great it is, how great a cost it is to be the country we are, it makes me want to keep all the memories of everything alive. Of course, but what I want to do is determine in my latter days how best I can be more loyal to America, how best I can stand for the great ideal of this land. Stands for, which I believe is linked directly to God's guidance and God's will. When we sing some of our songs about America the Beautiful and so forth, we sing songs about how God watches over us. And I think God, by giving us freedom, demands. And I think the blood that has been shed in Omaha Beach and buried in Normandy, and I think that blood demands, it requires that we be vigilant and that we remain loyal to the ideals that many people laid their lives down for. I'm an American. I'm a freeborn American. And I'm proud of that. And I don't believe a lot of the lies that people want you to believe. I don't believe America is an imperialist country. I don't think we go out and try to conquer and colonize countries. I believe England was at one time, and so was Spain, and every other European country once were imperialists. They were out grabbing land wherever they could get it, subjugating people down and out. You remember apartheid and all that? That goes way back to England. People want to be free from that yoke. And I think those ideals are the ones I want to be loyal to. I want to be loyal to the blood that has already been spilt and requires me, compels me, to be loyal to this land and to the ideal. And I think anything that's wrong with this land can be resolved if we begin to think in terms of what's bigger and what is a greater purpose for this land. It's to bring us together as a people. You can be green and polka-dotted from Africa, India, Ireland even Ireland. You can come to America and build a land and we will become a people. Yes, I'm Irish. And you may be Dutch, and you may be German, you may be whatever, African, whatever. Mexican, it doesn't make any difference. But when you come to America, we need to be Americans. You know, I think one of the most offensive things I've seen is some of these things that you have to fill out for Social Security and other things like that. They ask you what your ethnicity is. Are you African American, native born American, and all of this? I think we should do away with that. Don't you? Okay, I'm a green American. Well, no, I hate green because I don't believe in all that green business, but I'm a blue American, a red American, whatever. I'm an American because I think the ideal of America was for a people to come together with the same ideals, the same dreams, and the same opportunities with the same freedoms. And with that, what we do with that is our choice. And that's why I say some of the things that we accept and become as people are because we chose that. And you're free to do that. Let me give you something that offended me once. I'm driving down the road. You guys are adults here. I know you're kind of young, but I'll consider you an adult here this morning, okay? I'm driving down the road. In fact, I'll tell you exactly where it was at. I come in off the freeway, and we're at Knob Hill exit, and I turn left. I'm headed for Western Materials down on First. And I'm coming up to that first stop sign there, and there's a 7-Eleven. Where the hot dogs are, and then another guy said, and there's a guy, I won't tell you his ethnicity, doesn't matter, but there's a guy in a car, and have you seen those decals? How many Chevy lovers do we have here? People love Chevrolet, anybody? Couple? Two, three, four, five? How many of you love Fords? Fords, okay. The only two I've seen is, you ever see the picture of that little devious boy urinating? Have you ever seen it? The ones I've seen is like urinating on the Ford symbol and a Chevy guy on the Chevy guy, that kind of thing. I saw a decal, that same little young guy taking a leak on the American flag. It was in his window. I'm not going to tell you anything about any further than that, but I want to tell you what rose up within me. Two things happened to me. Instantly, I was inflamed. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit has to come into my car, you know. But I was instantly angry. I was thinking, that's what you think about America? Every one of you are thinking the same thing I thought, aren't you? I knew I couldn't get nothing past you. And then I paused and I thought, no. Can I really be honest with you? I wanted to follow the guy to where he stopped and show him what America thought about him. But I didn't. And I'll tell you why I didn't. Because America's bigger than that. And the freedoms and the rights and the right of free speech and all of that, this person has as well. And if that's the way he feels, I defend his right to make his statement. I'm offended by it. I'm offended when I was in the 60s and they burned American flags. Our own people, our own young people burning American flags in protest. I mean, you can remember the sit-ins? Does anybody remember sit-ins? I'm sorry you young people don't remember these things, but we used to protest with the long hair, you know, little funny glasses, sometimes wearing a robe, and really weird guys. And we would protest the war in Vietnam or whatever, the man, the state, we wanted to protest them. We'd go to a school or to a public building and we'd do a sit-in. Does anybody remember that? And you wouldn't let, people couldn't walk past you because you got the whole hallway's full of people sitting down. And that was our protest. We stopped government for a day. We wouldn't let them come in. We stopped it. Power to the people, power to the people. I could go for that part. But when you burn the flag, something rose up within me and the voice of my father spoke and said, this is never to be desecrated. Never let this flag touch the ground. Honor this flag. It means something bigger than you. And I still believe that. So when I saw that, I was incensed and I wanted to let the air out of his tires and other places. But that would not be American. American defends the rights of everybody who has an opinion. That's what makes America great. And we have survived. We survived the 60s. Do you realize that? We survived the 60s. So much uproar, we had all kinds of things going on. We had riots in Watts, and we had riots in Harlem, and we had the Symbionese Liberation Army that was going to set all the Oakland black people free. We had the Black Panthers in the Bay Area, and they were killing people, and we were finding them on the roads all over the place. Because initiation into the Black Panthers was to kill somebody. Generally a white person. Hello? We survived that. And we're going to survive all the other things. Because this dream is a dream that God has given us. The dream is to be free. Free. And to be vigilant about my liberties. Amen? Let me turn you to Galatians, the 5th chapter, the 1st verse, and I'll move quickly. Listen to what this says. Listen to what this says and see if you cannot parallel this. I mean, it's not, you don't go to heaven because you're an American, okay? You know that, don't you? God has this petition you have to sign. Okay, I'll let you in heaven if you sign this petition which says I'm an American. That's not what I'm talking about. But the freedom idea and the concept comes straight from God. And let me read it for you in the 5th chapter of Galatians. Stand fast. Loyalty. Vigilance. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. God is free. Christ is free. He has given us freedom. And then the exhortation is this. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, the history of that and the meaning of that is that there were religious people trying to get the brand new Christians to conform to their religious ceremonies. That's what it was about. And Paul was concerned that these people would be converted back to this whole idea, which was bondage. And so he says, say, stand fast in what you have already experienced in Christ. Why? Because that's where freedom is. You're free in Christ. There's no longer any penalty or condemnation for your sin. It's been washed away. You're free of that. That's when I begin to understand freedom, when Christ redeemed me. Are you still with me? Then he says, be careful, be vigilant, be always watching. that you don't go back to that old bondage. So my encouragement today is, if we are Americans, then should we not stand fast to that which we believe in? And be diligent and vigilant about it. And be careful not to go back to the old bondage, but to be free as Americans, and especially as Christian, who has freed us from the consequence of our sin.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.